Sanhedrin is Vayera, but I would like to just much shortly before the just a couple minutes ago, I received a call that a certain person who lived in Lincolnwood, Dennis Midorsky, he passed away, and Dennis was a person who regularly, he not only listened to the shiur every week, but he looked forward every week to hearing the shiur. And he was a very fine person. And he really had no family. And so I feel a special obligation because he was sort of part of the family. If we, all those that are involved in the shiur here, he was part of our family. So I would just like to dedicate the shiur today in Dennis's memory. All right, in the, now in Parshas Vayera, so the conclusion of Parshas Vayera, it talks about the Akedah. When Avram received the command from God, that the way Avram understood the command was for him to place his son on the Mizbeach, on the altar, and to sacrifice his son to God. This is considered one of the 10 tests. Some say it was most of the commentaries say it was the 10th test. Others say it was the 9th test that Avram had, but to put his son on the altar. From the Midrashim, it seems that God said, "It was never my intention for you to actually slaughter Yitzchak on the altar. Lo amarti lecha shachtehu. I did not tell you to slaughter him, ela ha'alehu, to put him on the altar." In other words, the command that God intended was for Yitzchak to be a living sacrifice, a living gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he had to, not that Yitzchak should die, chas v'shalom, but that Yitzchak's whole life should be one of dedication, of being dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyway, but Avram, and of course that was part of the test, Avram did not understand the original command, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulated that he shouldn't understand. It was to demonstrate perhaps to the nations of the world, because at that time, the nations of the world, to their idolatry, they used to sacrifice their son. And there were probably those who felt that Avram is not as dedicated to his God as they were to their idols. So consequently, that the world should recognize Avram's dedication to God, it was necessary for Avram to think that the command was a command to actually sacrifice or to put him on the altar, which would necessitate his being sacrificed to God. But in fact, it was just the idea, focusing on the idea that the true sacrifice, the true commitment, the true gift to God is God dedicating one's life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think, but the Torah tells us that the command was given at Avram had, it was at night, and it was like a prophetic vision through a dream, in which kachas binchas yichidcha shahafta v'halehu la'ola, should make him a sacrifice on the altar, put him on the altar, and Avram it was told to go to Eretz Hamoria, to the land of Moriah. Moriah, according to our sages, that's Jerusalem. Bahaleu Sham, Alachar Haharim, and one of the mountains in the area there. But the mountain that I will show, that I, God, will show you. And so Avram and Yitzchak go traverse the land to Moriah over a period of 3 days. And it was on the third day, and by Yaris Hamakom Erachok, Avram sees the place on top of the mountain from afar. And then he turns to Narav. He turns because together with Avram and Yitzchak, two servants of Avram went. One clearly was Eliezer, according to some Edrashim. The other one was Yishmael, the son of Ishivcha, the son of a maidservant. And he turns to them and he says, Shulachem poem achamor, you stay here with the donkey. Vani vahanar nelcha ko, me and the lad. Vinishtachava, and we will bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nashuva aleichem, and we will return to you. And the very interesting, the Da'as Kein Mibal Tosfos cites the Medrash. The way that Da'as Kein Mibal Tosfos cites the Medrash is somewhat different than the way we have the Medrash. Whether he had a different text of the Medrash or he was just rephrasing it, I don't know. But I'm assuming that he had a different text or another medrash. And the text is of the medrash. Vayihi bayom ha-shlishi, it was on the third day. And Avram sees the place from afar. Vayaras ha-makom erachok, he sees the place from afar. And he says to his servants, Shulachem poem achamor, stay here with the donkey. So the Das Kenim Baal Tosfos says, Medrash, Kishara Avram es hamakom erachok, when Avram saw the place from afar, for anan kosher alav, and there was a heavenly cloud attached to it. Amar li Yitzchak beno, he said to Yitzchak his son, Ma taroa, what do you see? Amar lo, Yitzchak said, Har noa ani roa, I see a beautiful mountain, for anan kosher olav, and there is a heavenly cloud attached to it, similar as some of the mepharshim point out, to the heavenly cloud that was over Mount Sinai at the time of Matan Torah. Chazar Eitzel Narav. So he then went, turned to his servants, the two servants that accompanied him on the road. Ba'amar Lahem, and he said to them, Ma'atem Roev, what do you see? Amrulo, Einan Roev Shum Davar. They said, we didn't see anything. Amar lahem, atem v'hachamor shavim, you and the donkey are the same. She'einchem roim kamohu, just as he doesn't see anything, you don't see anything. Imkain, therefore, shulechem poim achamor, stay here with the donkey. And then the Das Kenim in Baal Tosfos add something. Venerally, the Hainu Hach Dombarazal. This is the thing that our sages said. Am Hadome. The servants or the slaves who accompanied Avram, they are like a nation that is similar to the chamor, to the donkey. Ulefichach eved ein lo chayis kechamor. And therefore, a eved, a slave, legally does not have pedigree or his the nature, the halachic nature of his family life is limited. And we have to understand, it's not just a question of what the halacha is. Those were the facts of life that existed at that time. Because at that time, and for many years afterwards, slaves could be sold. They could be sold away from their spouse. They could be sold away from their children. Their children could be sold away from them. So in a sense, there wasn't a real attachment that other people had. And that was the servile perspective. So it seems very strange. We have this incident that the Medrash tells us that the servants did not see anything special, whereas Avram saw a heavenly cloud, and Yitzhak saw, in his words, a beautiful mountain, Har Noah, for Anan Kosher Aleha, and a heavenly cloud attached to it. And the halacha that servants and servants or slaves have their legally their pedigree, the law of pedigree and the law of family is somewhat limited in their lives. So the question is, how are we to understand? How are we to understand this halacha? What is the connection between this incident and the law that the servants do not have pedigree with their children or with their parents? And what is, and on the other hand, when you take a look as to the way the Das Kanim Baal Tosfos quotes the Medrash, and our Medrash is somewhat different, it seems that Avraham, his primary focus was on the heavenly cloud. Medrash says he saw a heavenly cloud. Mara! What did he see? He saw a heavenly cloud. It doesn't say that he saw a beautiful mountain. He knew that the sacrifice was going to take place on a mountain. But there seems to be no focus on the fact that it was a beautiful mountain. Whereas when it comes to Yitzchak, and Avram asked Yitzchak, what do you see? Isaac's reply, I see a beautiful mountain, va'anan kosher aleha, and a heavenly cloud attached to it. So if we assume that the Das Kanim Baal HaTosfos had a different text in the Medrash, or had access to a different Medrash, we have to understand why there was a difference in the Medrash telling us what Avram saw, focusing on what Avram saw, and the Medrash when it focused on what Yitzhak saw. Now, the Medrash Rabban, the Medrash Tanchuma that we have, seem to imply that Avram and Yitzhak saw the exact same thing. But from the Das Kanim Baal HaTosfos, the simple reading of it does not seem to indicate that way. And as far as the Shnei Narav, the two servants, when Avram turned to them and said, what do you see? So the Shnei Narim, the two servants said, we don't see anything. Now, we can understand to some degree, but we'll explain why. That they didn't understand the Anan Kasher because they did not have that spiritual vision that Avram and Yitzhak had. But Yitzhak said that he saw a Har Noah. He saw a beautiful mountain. So why weren't the servants able to see the beautiful mountain? Why didn't the beautiful mountain make an impression on them like it made an impression on Yitzchak? And what is interesting is the Medrash Tanchuma. Again, the Medrash Tanchuma is somewhat different than the way the Medrash Rabba is and the way the Medrash is mentioned in Das Kenim al Tosfos. Instead of saying we didn't see anything, they said we saw only desert. So we have to understand why this different visions, the vision of Abram, the vision of Yitzchak, and the vision of the vision and the vision of the Shnei Na'arav, of the two servants who accompanied Abram. Now I think that there is a difference between the perspective of Avram and Yitzchak in terms of their sense of closeness to God. Both Avram and Yitzchak are institute philos, daven. Avram instituted shacharis, and that's in this week's Sedra. Vayakam Avram. Avram got up in the morning at the time that stone was being destroyed. El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Berishona, to the place. And Makom, by the way, could have reference also to God, because God is called Makom. So, Hu Mekomo Shalolam. So God, Abraham instituted Tefillah Shacharis, and many times we see from the Gemara in Yuma that Avram even davened Mincha. He didn't institute Mincha, but he davened Mincha. And we see Avram, God and Avram conversing time and time again. Yera love Hashem, but it's not just one time. It's constant. In Yitzchak, of course, God appears to Yitzchak from time to time, but it's not, when we take a look at the Torah, it's not as often that God appeared to Yitzchak. And when Yitzchak goes to David, the Torah tells us, where does Yitzchak go to Davin? Yitzchak goes to Davin. Yitzchak goes to Davin in the fields. Whereas Avram has a special place. Now, Yitzchak might have had a special place also. But it seems that there is an emphasis in the Torah that Avram's, if he did have a special place, he went basada, he went to the fields, the David. And the question is, why did he go to the fields? It's interesting that in the time that it seems there were periods of time when the Jewish people in later generations also were David in the fields. As a matter of fact, that's the reason some say that we say Baruch Hashem L'olam Amen V'Amen, because we don't want to lead the latecomers out alone after the finishing of davening. But whatever it is, there seems to be a difference between Avram and Yitzchak. Yitzchak, when he goes to daven, he goes basada. He goes into the fields. And the question is, why did Yitzchak go to the fields? And I think the answer is very simple. Yitzchak's perception of God was God in nature. Matter of fact, we see in Parshas Toldos, I've mentioned it before, that Yitzchak was ready to give the brachos to Esau. And the question is, Yitzchak, how is it that Yitzchak didn't realize who Esau was? But Torah tells us, Esau was an ish sadeh. He was a man of the fields. I think perhaps Yitzchak made a mistake. And Yitzchak identified Esau with himself. And sometimes there is a tendency for a father to identify with his child, especially with the oldest child. So, but Yitzchak assumed that why did Esau go out into the field? Why was he in his sadeh? Because he felt closest to God there, just as he, Yitzchak, felt closest to God in the sadeh. That's why Yitzchak went to the sadeh to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he davened, when he prayed. He went out to the fields. But Avraham had a somewhat of a different approach. We get the, first of all, it's well known. I mean, there is some discussion what it means, but Avraham, in the earliest part of his life, while he was searching, and initially it appears our ancestors. Now, there is some discussion among the Mefarshim and the Haggadah whether Avosenu has reference to Terach, as the next sentence seems to suggest, or it has reference to Avram, who was trained by Terach initially as a youngster. But in any case, certainly, Avram initially, even though he began searching at the age of 3, according to one medrash, and that seems to be the shita that the Ravid is inclined to, whereas the Rambam talks about Avram, he cares boro, recognizing God at the age of 40. But whatever it is, initially Avram did not fully recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are all kinds of midrashim that at one point he davened to the sun. I shouldn't say davened. He served the sun, S-U-N. And then at night he said, there is no sun here. And then he served the moon. And the day he said, there is no moon here. And he came to recognize that the different forces of nature, the individual forces of nature themselves, were not gods. And the Medrash tells us also that when he finally recognized that there was a creator, but he began to think, because he looked at the world as many people do, and they see things that they don't understand taking place. They see catastrophe. And they say, God couldn't have done this, couldn't have allowed this. So he began to think that perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, God, there was a God who created the world, but he is no longer part of the world. So he recognized the God, but God was not in the world initially. And then God made himself known to Avram. So Avram's initial perception of the world and his perception of God was God as the creator, but not God as part of the world. And consequently, his main relationship with God was extraneous to nature. God was the controller of the world. God gave the world the ability to continue to exist. It was the Koach Havaya. But his closeness to God manifests itself in God appearing to him, or in him trying to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the means of tefillah, through the means of prayer. Whereas Yitzchak, from the moment of his birth, and perhaps even earlier than that, he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And consequently, his main relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was God nature, God within the nature. And that's why Yitzchak went out into the field. When Avram beheld the Anan, when he beheld the heavenly cloud, the mountain was not important. Because when he saw God, primarily it was not nature. It was God. It didn't stand out in his mind. But Yitzchak, whose relationship with Avram, whose relationship with God was within nature. So with him, he saw Har Noah ba'anan kashor lecha. He saw the beautiful mountain. And there was a heavenly cloud on it. Now, the halacha is Avram. And this is the idea also. When the Medrash says that Avram is compared to someone who saw a bira, he saw a building, and he said, and there was a fire. This way some explain it. And he said, perhaps the Baal HaBira, he thought the Baal HaBira had left the building, the mansion. But so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani Baal HaBira, I am the Baal HaBira. But his initial perception was of a Bira independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God. And it's very interesting. Also, Yitzchak was a carbon. And as I mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention, as the Medrash tells us, was never that Yitzchak should be slaughtered. But as Reb Chaim explains it, Yitzchak was a living carbon. He was a living sacrifice. I guess the word sacrifice is not a good word to use in this case, because sacrifice implies the loss of life. But he was someone that was given over to, he had the status of a living sacrifice, a korban before it was killed, but it was ongoing for the rest of his life. And in a sense, because of that, then we know that a sacrifice cannot taken out of the Beis HaMikdash, out of Yerushalayim, out of Jerusalem, or out of the temple. So in a sense, to Yitzchak, wherever Yitzchak went, to a certain degree, that was part of the temple. I mentioned in Parshas Noach that by Noach, the whole world was the temple of God. The whole world was created to be a place where man and God will have a meeting. And that's why after the Churban, after destruction of the world through the flood, so Noach gave korbanos, gave sacrifices, because the giving of sacrifices, by Yorach Hashem es Reach HaNichoach, God figuratively smelling the sweet smell of the sacrifices, is indicative of the fact that destruction of the temple is over, is no longer there. As we say in the Tochacha we say, when the temple is in a state of destruction, halachically, there is no reach nichoach. There is no smelling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't figuratively smell the sweet smell of the sacrifices. And when God smelled the sweet smell of the sacrifices of Noach, he said the destruction of the temple being the world that was created, that God should have a residence together with man. So the destruction is over. I can smell the sweet smell of Noah's sacrifices, of the Reach HaNichoach. And Yitzchak, wherever he went, that was also a temple. Yitzchak didn't leave Eretz Yisrael. But wherever he went, that was the temple. And because wherever he went, that was the temple. Temple represents the special closeness a person has to God. The place that he felt closest was in nature. Closest to God was in nature. There was no disturbances from other people. It was nature itself. Because of that, Yitzchak with Vayetzi Yitzchak Lasuach Besada. Yitzchak went in the field. So Yitzchak, when he looked at godliness, he saw godliness in nature itself. Now, however, the Avadim, the slaves, what did they see? According to one medrash, they saw nothing. Okay, so why didn't they see the mountain? So we could say that they saw the mountain, but the mountain did not appear special to them. It was just a mountain. They couldn't see the Anan Kosher Aleha. But the medrash says that they saw a desert. The medrash, not the way it's recorded in the Daas Kenu Bala Tosfos, but the way it's quoted in the Medrash Tanchuma, they saw a desert. So the question is, if they saw a desert, how is it that Yitzchak saw a Har Noah, a beautiful mountain? And we could say, but I think it's more than that, we could say that what made it a Har Noah, what made it beautiful in Yitzchak's eyes, was the fact that he saw the Anan Kosher Aleha, the fact that he saw the heavenly cloud over it. But the servants, They didn't see the heavenly cloud. They didn't have that spiritual vision. So that mountain was not any special than the other areas that were around there. And perhaps the areas around there were all desert. Because of that, they said, all we see is desert, according to the Medrash. But I think it's more than that. Now, I mentioned before that the Medrash mentions this whole episode about God saying, the God that Avram saying, I see a heavenly cloud on the mountain. And Yitzhak saying, I see a heavenly cloud on the beautiful mountain. And the servants, the slaves, they didn't see anything, or they saw a desert, whatever it is. That and then the Das Kenim Baal Tosfos says, that's why the halacha is that in regard to servants, in regard to slaves, it's identified with the recognition of the facts that a slave does not have regular family life, that a slave doesn't have pedigree. And the question is, what's the connection between these incidents? And I think what's interesting is when you take a look at the Torah, the Torah says that on the third day, Vayaris Hamakom Erachok, Avram saw the place from afar. And the Medrash says he saw an Anan Kasher, a heavenly cloud. But we can understand the Medrash because the word Makom, which is place, in Medrash is also used as a terminology, Medrash and Gemara. It's a terminology that's used in regard to God. Humakomo Shalom. He is the place of the world. Now, so the Medrash uses the explanation, Vayaris Hamakom Erachok. He saw the heavenly cloud. He saw spirituality. He saw God from afar. Now, according to some Midrashim, one of the servants that went with Avram was Eliezer. Eliezer was a special person. Chazal say that he had Tfitzas HaDerech. When he was sent by Avram to get a wife for Yitzchak, all kinds of miracles took place through him. And he scanned Beso, and at one point Avram was even thinking that Eliezer would be his successor. And Avram let everything in the house be run on the basis, on the direction of Eliezer. So how is it that Eliezer couldn't see anything? That he didn't have that spiritual vision? And the truth is, when you take a look at next week's Sedra, Avram sends Eliezer to seek a wife for Yitzchak. And the Medrash tells us that Eliezer, of course, he followed the directions he was given with Avram. But there was a certain sense of disappointment, because Eliezer felt that his daughter might have been a proper wife for Yitzchak. After all, she was born and she was brought up in the house of Avraham Avinu, in the camp of Avraham Avinu. And where was Rivka brought up? In the house of idolatry. Okay, obviously, as my uncle said, there were some outside influences Avram left, according to my uncle, a religious underground, and who helped inspire Rivka. But still, Rivka was not brought up in a house of dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Eliezer, how is it that HaKadosh Baruch, that Eliezer's daughter was rejected outright by Avram? And the Medrash says that Avram told Eliezer, you're Aror, you're cursed. Because Eliezer was from Canaan, he was from Cham. He was cursed. And my son is Baruch, and my son is blessed. And the curse can't attach itself to blessing. And we have to understand, what does that mean? What does that mean? I think what it is that Eliezer was a very religious figure. He was in such a high madrega, a high level of spirituality. But he was in a high level of spirituality when the spirituality was right in front of him, when God was right in front with him. But from afar, Eliezer couldn't see spirituality. That was the uniqueness of Avram and Yitzchak, that they were able to see spirituality from afar. And Eliezer's daughter, so long as she was in the house of Avraham Avinu, so she was devoted to God. But she didn't have a sense of the future. And to be a mother of the Jewish people, you have to have a sense for the future. When Esav sold his bechorah, he sold his birthright. He said, Anochi holech lamos b'lama li b'chora. I'm going to die. What do I need? The birthright. The fruits of the birthright are all in the future. The Jewish, the nation of Avram, they will be enslaved first. And then they'll establish their nation. I want to establish my nation now when I'm alive. Esav did not have a sense for the future. And consequently, he couldn't become an Av of Klal Yisrael, a leader of the descendants of Avram, of the nation of Avram. And a slave does not have a sense for a future either. A slave doesn't have a sense for a past, and he doesn't have a sense for a future. He only has that one moment because he can be sold away from his parents, and most of the time they were sold away from their parents. And their children are sold away from them, traded on the market. So the servile perspective, even in the cases where they didn't have those situations. But that was the servile perspective. There was only the moment. There wasn't Merachok. Eliezer didn't have a sense for the future. He only had a sense for the present. Eliezer's daughter only had a sense for the present. And what happened to the souls of the Jews, of the Nefesh Asher Asu Bechoron? When Avram went to Eretz Canaan, he went with many people. But the Nefesh Asher Asu Bechoron, what happened to them? The Nefesh Asher Asu Bechoron, they went to who were the Nefesh Asher Asu Bechoron? So the Mefarshim give two explanations. One pshat was, the simple pshat is, it was the servants of Abraham. And the other explanation is, the nefesh asherasu b'charan were the, those that Avram was megayer, those that he brought close to the Shechina, those that he educated about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about God. Now, my uncle suggests, I saw in some of the notes, but the nefesh asherasu b'charan left Avram before he reached Eretz Canaan. I don't know that we have to say that, but one thing is for sure, even though they stayed with Avram, but their generations did not stay with Avram. I saw at one time, I mentioned this before, that archaeologists went into the lower floor of the Maras Machpelah, and they found bones, human skeletons, many human skeletons on the bottom. Obviously, that's Chas v'Shalom, that wasn't the Avos and the Imos. They were buried somewhere in there. But just lying on the floor, the bottom floor of the Gemara's Mopela is a double floor. It dawned on me, whose bones are these? And the archaeologists, they tested it scientifically. And it dates back to the time of the Avos. I'm wondering if those weren't the bones of the Nefesh HaSharasu B'Charan, of the servants of Avram and Yitzchak, that in a sense were buried in a different sort of way in the Maras Machpelah, near Avram. So, but in any case, what happened to them? The answer is, so long as they were together with Avram, so it was a nefesh asherasu b'charan. It was the so long as they were together with Avram, so they were devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the future generations did not stay with Avram. Why? Because even the original generation, the generation that stayed with Avram, the generation that might be buried, I don't know, might be buried in the Maras Machpelah together with Avram. But they were servants of Avram. They had a servile perspective. They only had a sense for the present. They didn't have a sense for the future. Because that is the servile perspective. And I think that we could suggest that this is the reason why Avram, it was a midbar. It could be it was a desert. But because the reason Avram and Yitzchak saw an anan kasher aleha, and Yitzchak saw a harnoah as a result of the anan kasher aleha. So the reason is because Yitzchak and Avram, they didn't just see the mountain at that moment. They saw the mountain of the future. They saw the Beis HaMikdash. They view it not from the perspective only of the present, but it was from the perspective of the future. But the Avodim, great as Eliezer might have been, and Yishmael, even though he probably, as the Medrash says, I saw it in some of the Mefarshim, maybe, I don't remember, that the other one was Yishmael. And Yishmael was a son of a maidservant. He probably did not retain the status of an Eved, but the mental perspective of an Eved he had. They had no sense of the future. And because they didn't have a sense of the future, they couldn't see things merachok from afar. They could see God, and Yishmael did tshuva. They could see God when God was right in front of them. Similar to the at Kriyas Yamsuf, the Torah tells us even about the Jewish people. Ra'asa shivcha alayam, the shivcha alayam, the maidservant at the sea, saw more revelation than Yecheskel ben Buzi, than the prophet Yecheskel ben Buzi. But what happened to the maidservant at the sea? We don't see anything happening afterwards. But Yecheskel ben Buzi, we see. Why? Because Yecheskel ben, when the Jewish people initially, when they left Egypt, they still had the servile perspective. And they only saw what was right in front of them. Am Cheyoref. What is an Am Cheyoref? That you only see what's in front of you. You can't turn your neck. You can't see what's behind you. You can't see what's in front of you. So maidservant at the sea saw more than Yecheskel ben Buzi, but they weren't able to take it with them to the future because they didn't have a sense of future at that point. And Yitzchak and Avram, they had a sense. They had a sense of the future. So it was Vayar es hamakom merachok. And we could suggest that actually there was, in terms of linking the past, the future with the present, there Avram and Yitzchak both had that. But with in terms of linking it with the past, Yitzchak might have been stronger than Avram, because Avram's name, and last week's Sedra, he gets the name Avram. And our sages tell us, Kol hakore la Avram, Avram over basay. If somebody calls Avram by his former name, so he's in violation of halacha. The post don't bring it down. But for whatever the reason is, the Gemara mentions it. So a person is not supposed to call Avraham Avram. But when it comes to Yaakov, so Yaakov gets the name Yisrael, but he still retains the name Yaakov. Why is it? But the answer is very simple. Because by Avram, when he undergoes Geiris, or he becomes, but it was rejection of his past. So to a certain degree, Avram did not link past, present, and future, because Avram had to sever his past. And the name Avram represents the past. Avraham represents Avram's present and future. So Avram was strong in linking present with future, but Yitzchak was strong in linking past, present, and future, because his recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu began from the moment of his birth. And it's because that his recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu began from the moment of his birth that he was able to see God in nature. Avram, of course, he saw God in nature, but that's not where he felt closest to God, because he had initially seen nature without God. But Yitzchak, God the nature became identified. Not chas v'shalom, that God was limited to nature, but he saw God in nature as well. Okay.
If anyone has a question, please put it in the chat.
So we have one question. You mentioned the beginning and a little bit later on that Hashem only commanded Avram to bring Yitzchak up, not to slaughter him. What about the Midrashim that say that he actually did cut Yitzhak? Is there a different lesson to learn from them or what?
I'm explaining it the way Reb Chaim explained it. That's the first thing. And I'm mentioning this Midrash. There could be other Midrashim. There were even some Midrashim that he was burnt and all that. I don't take those Midrashim literally. If somebody wants to take those Midrashim literally, so there was a dispute between the Midrashim, and I'm explaining the Midrash that says, Lo amarti l'cha shachteyu ela ha'aleyu. My sense is that the other Midrashim say it had the impact like these things happen. That's the way I would understand those other Midrashim.
Thank you. No other questions yet. Okay, I guess there are no other questions. So thank you for the share. Thank you, everyone, for being here and for changing your clocks.